Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast from the press box. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by analyst Michael Remus. And Reem, this is a game, we said it yesterday on the Illegal Curve hockey show, this was the absolute must-win game for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, it was a little bit nerve-wracking there, you know, early in the first period, but really, I was expecting a hard-fought game. I was expecting a close game. I did not expect anything like a 7-2 Winnipeg Jets victory like we saw here tonight against the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Drew. And I think you're bang on when you say that it was a must-win. I mean, every game here is must-win, but yeah. The Jets, their playoff hopes are slowly fading away if they haven't yet already. And yeah, this was one the Jets had to have, and what it seemed like to me was, I mean, the Jets had you know, they lost six in a row coming in, but they had a bunch of solid performances, and they had a lot of scoring chances, but they weren't able to put the puck in the net, and I just thought this game was, you know, all the chances that, you know, they were so close on last time, finally getting into the back of the net this game.
Sure, it certainly helped that the Dallas Stars goaltender tonight, Tim Thomas, decided not to show up. He was absolutely atrocious, and the Jets were able to take advantage of that. But, you know, all in all, this is still it's a good victory for the Jets. I mean, ultimately, I think it is going to be too little, too late.
Right.
You can't lose six games at this crucial juncture of the season and not have it end up biting you in the backside. But for Winnipeg Jets fans who are hoping to still have a faint hope clause or a faint hope of the playoffs, they had to win tonight's game, and they did, so the Jets do get full kudos to that heading into tomorrow night and a back-to-back contest in St. Louis against the powerhouse St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, it was a great game, and hopefully they can continue it tomorrow night, because it's going to be a tough one on back-to-back nights against St. Louis, especially with Andre Pavlik hurt. I wouldn't think that they'd be putting in Michael Hutchinson for tomorrow.
No, I would think that they're going to stick with Al Montoya. He really didn't have much of a workout today after the 10-minute mark of the first period. He was able to sort of coast at that point in time. I mean, Dallas only had three shots on goal in the second period. They had 14 in the third, but those were all from the outside and relatively insignificant shots. So it's not like Al Montoya had an especially difficult workload tonight. He certainly has been rested, as he hadn't played in, I'm trying to think the last game he did play might have been against St. Louis. But I don't want to say that for sure. I can't remember that far back. My brain doesn't work so well. But anyways, I would expect the Jets to go back to Al Montoya tomorrow night against the Blues. Might as well start by breaking down the goals. There's a lot of them, nine in total tonight. Jets opened the scoring at the 3:11 mark of the first period. Jacob Trouba gets his eighth goal of the year. Assist to Blake Wheeler. Play starts with Wheeler on a good forecheck into the blue zone. He goes in hard. The puck sort of, it's a turnover / forecheck. Puck comes out loose in the slot to Jacob Trouba. Demonstrates good patience. He waits out Tim Thomas and then puts it in the top shelf, and the Jets have a 1-0 lead at the 3:11 mark. They really needed to get out to a good start tonight.
Yeah, it was definitely important to get on the board first. A great shot by Trouba. Nice play down the wing. And I think that was the start of the end of Thomas's night. I mean, he was really, unpredictable or wild. For a goaltender, I mean, you really didn't know what he was going to do, when he was when the puck was shot at him.
No, you're right. He was not anything that the Dallas Stars could really count on tonight for whatever reason. I mean, they didn't play last night. They played Friday night against Calgary. So I'm not sure why the Dallas Stars came out with such a lethargic effort. Granted, they have injuries, but much like the Winnipeg Jets, so you can't necessarily say it's an injury thing, but like every other team in the NHL this time of year, there is injuries as a factor. That's not to say the Dallas Stars, didn't put up a bit of a fight. They, in fact, had a 2-1 lead in the first period. They scored their first goal of the game to make it 1-1. Alex Chiasson gets his 12th of the year. Assist to Alex Goligoski and Cody Eakin. Bad goal. Al Montoya would want this one back. It's a simple wrist shot. He covers it, he smothers it, hits him right in the chest. But for whatever reason, he's on his heels. He sort of falls backwards, and the ref doesn't blow the puck dead. I don't really think the ref should have in that instance. It falls right into the blue paint, and Chiasson's there to bang it through Montoya into the back of the net. Something, obviously, Al Montoya would want to have that one back, because there's no reason why he shouldn't have frozen that puck clean.
Yeah, at first, you know, on that play, I thought they should have blown the whistle. But if you look at the replay, the puck was kind of, you know, stuck in his stomach, and it appeared to be.
It wasn't smothered in my books. I mean, some refs, you're definitely right, would have had a quicker whistle there and probably blown it dead. In that instance, you can see the goalies fighting it. You're not sure. I was okay with the ref saying play on for at least another couple seconds there. And those couple seconds ended up with the puck in the back of the net because Montoya just couldn't handle a very simple shot from the point.
Yeah, that's one he'd like to have back. But you think that the Jets are, you know, getting up to one goal lead, and then they quickly give it up, and you're thinking, oh no, here we go again.
That's right. The Stars then did take a 2-1 lead 37 seconds later. It's Tyler Seguin, assist to Valeri Nikushkin and Jamie Benn. Nikushkin passes the puck out to Seguin from behind the Jets' net. Seguin is coming across the middle of the ice, catches Montoya going the wrong way, and his wrist shot finds the back of the net. Jets' defense is not very good on this play. They lose Seguin. Toby Enstrom and Zach Bogosian, I believe, were the defensemen on the ice during this play for the Winnipeg Jets. I was wrong there. It's Adam Party and Keaton Ellerbe there. And they lose Seguin, and he's a dangerous guy, and you give him space, time and space in the middle of the ice, he's likely to burn you.
Yeah, it was just a nice play, and you got to give credit to the Jets after this, because you think, Jets are blowing the lead, but they were able to, you know, regain their composure and, you know, make a comeback.
Certainly a team with fragile confidence, if they had any confidence whatsoever. So you think, oh, great, 2-1 Dallas. I mean, it's only 7 minutes into the game. Dallas, you know, should have all the energy and should be able to take it to the Jets. And fans are thinking, is this going to become 7 games in a row with a loss? But, like we said, it helps that Tim Thomas wasn't interested in really playing hockey tonight for the Jets. They are able to tie it up at the 11:54 mark when Michael Frolik gets his 14th of the year. Somehow they gave an assist to Toby Enstrom on this play. I'm not 100% sure what the scorers were watching, and I'd like to see a replay of that again to see if it was really worthy of an assist. I saw a turnover in the Dallas zone, a clean turnover in the Dallas zone. I saw a wrist shot from Michael Frolik, pretty basic wrist shot with a huge rebound that Frolik gets his own rebound, and he puts a backhander past Tim Thomas to tie it up at the 11:54 mark.
Yeah, it was just great play, great hard work by Frolik getting the puck on the net and going after the rebound. And I think you got to give him credit. He was one, you know, I guess there were a number of players in the Jets that played very well today, and he was one of them.
Yeah, and then the Jets, it was a high-scoring first period, that's for sure. The fifth goal of the first period gives the Jets, allows them to retake the lead. They make it 3-2. Toby Enstrom gets the goal. It's his eighth of the year. Assist to Blake Wheeler, his second assist of the night. Patrice Cormier gets his first point of the season. And the reason that the play happened, he sends in Blake Wheeler on a breakaway. Cormier, with the sort of between the Jets' blue line and the red line, hits a streaking Wheeler with a pass. Wheeler comes in, misses on the backhand, but is able to gather his own rebound of, not even a rebound, gather his own missed shot in the corner. He finds a streaking in Toby Enstrom, and he's able to beat Tim Thomas to make it 3-2 for the Winnipeg Jets at that point in time. Certainly something the Winnipeg Jets would be glad to take, given the problems that the team has had in scoring as of late, and the problems the team has had in terms of winning in late. So it certainly isn't a bad thing for Toby Enstrom in that instance.
Yeah, and just a great play by Wheeler, and he had a great game for the Jets with four assists. I mean, he's so big, and he's got the speed, and he's so strong. And when he's driving to the net with that kind of speed, I mean, he creates so many chances that way, and that was, you know, just one of the things that he did tonight that was so great.
Blake Wheeler was the first star of the game, and he certainly was deserving of it. He was the most noticeable Jets forward. Although, you know, the Jets as a whole probably played pretty well, I would say, tonight. Again, the Dallas Stars really didn't put up much of a fight, and that was demonstrated first and foremost early in the second period. It's a 3-2 game after 20 minutes. Still anybody's game. I mean, it's not like the Jets are a shutdown defensive team. I think we know that as well as anybody else. 3-2 at the end of 29 seconds into the second period, the Jets make it 4-2. Olli Jokinen is left wide open in front of Tim Thomas. I mean, there wasn't a Dallas Stars player within 5 feet of him, and he has all day because of that time and space, and he's able to deke out Tim Thomas, and he puts the puck in the back of the net. I mean, you give any NHL player that much time and space, and you know they're going to put it in. The reason the play happens is the Dallas Stars are trying to break out from their own zone, and everybody's going. And the Jets force the turnover at the Stars' blue line, and Blake Wheeler gets his third assist of the game by intercepting the play, and he flips it to Olli Jokinen, who is wide open in front of Tim Thomas, as I was saying, puts it into the open cage. That's it for Tim Thomas's night, as the Dallas Stars go to the backup goaltender, Christopher Nilsstorp, getting his, I believe, first action of the season, his fifth NHL game. Jets have a 4-2 lead at that point in time, 29 seconds into the second period.
Yeah, I mean, what a great play by Olli Jokinen. Probably the nicest goal that he scored as a Jets. What was there, 3-4 moves on that team?
Yeah, he's got good hands. Olli Jokinen has been in the NHL for this many years. It's not because he can't stick handle and because he doesn't have a good offensive touch. Jets fans probably haven't seen it as often as they would like, but you give him that much time, that much space. I mean, Tim Thomas was deked out of his jock, as the cliche goes. So 4-2 Winnipeg at that point in time. The second period, for the most part, is relatively inconsequential. As we mentioned, Dallas only has 3 shots on goal in the entire second period. I mean, this Jets team, to only get 3 shots on goal against this Winnipeg Jets team, not known for their defense, tells you how much effort Dallas was really putting into the game tonight. They pretty much no-showed from the second period on, or really the 10-minute mark of the first period on. Jets make it 5-2 at the 16:30 mark of the second period. Dustin Byfuglien on the power play. He gets his 18th goal of the year, assist to Olli Jokinen and Toby Enstrom. The Jets had a 5-on-3 opportunity. It was not a very good-looking 5-on-3 opportunity. The 5-on-4 that it became still also wasn't very good-looking in terms of setting up a power play. The Jets were able to set it up really once, and that's all they needed, as a Byfuglien point shot, just an absolute blast on a one-timer pass from Jokinen, and he beats Nilsstorp to make it 5-2. Nothing the goalie could have done there. Buff shot when he gets it through from the point is a weapon, as we all know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought didn't think their power play was too bad at 5-on-3. I mean, in terms of getting quality shots onto the net, yeah, it may not have been the greatest, but I mean, they had the puck, they were passing around, they're looking to set up. But
if you don't have the puck on a 5-on-3 power play, you got a real fundamental problem. But
I mean, they had the puck the whole time, but they just were trying to set up that perfect play. I mean, there's a play where Little. I thought he should have shot, and then he passed it up to the right side. But were able to get they set it up once they were in 5-on-4, and they were able to get Buff with the big shot. And you saw him here with the shot, and then had the next goal. He was in front of the net and banged one, and he's just such a dangerous player. And he left the game with a lower body injury. We're not really sure what happened. He didn't come out for the 3 Stars, so we'll wait and see. Hopefully it's nothing too serious there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Byfuglien does travel with the team to St. Louis tonight. As you mentioned, he left the game in the third period with, I don't want to speculate, it seemed like a lower body injury.
Well, that's what they tweeted, lower body.
We don't know exactly what. We'll see if he's able to make the trip. My hunch would be that, unless it was... Well, I don't want to speculate. That would be unfair to speculate at that point.
Paul Maurice says that Byfuglien was taken out as a precaution, expects him to be good to go tomorrow night in St. Louis.
So I don't have to speculate. Paul Maurice can give us the official word. So there you go. Buff taken out in a precautionary manner, because, of course, it's a 5-2 game and there's no sense in pulling it too far. He was actually in to make it 6-2 because he's the guy who scored the goal. He gets his second of the night, his 19th of the year. Blake Wheeler gets his 4th assist on the night, tying a franchise record. Jokinen gets his 2nd assist and his 3rd point of the night. At the 3:14 mark of the third period, it becomes 6-2 Winnipeg. Jets force a turnover at the defensive blue line. Blake Wheeler, Jokinen skates in with the puck. He hits Wheeler. Wheeler sort of flips a weak backhand on net.
Yeah,
there was nothing to the shot. I mean, it's sort of just sitting there. I mean, nobody ties up a stick for the Stars. I don't know who the defensemen were on the ice at that point in time. It looks like it was Jordy Benn at that point, and
Brendan Dillon.
Was it Brendan Dillon? Okay, yep. Jordy Benn and Brendan Dillon were on the ice for the Stars. like I said, no, the Stars didn't want to be here much much after the 10-minute mark of the first period. Butlin's able to chip it past the goaltender. It's 6-2 at that point in time. And, well, I mean, not that it certainly wasn't a contest in the third period.
Yeah.
Jets did a little bit of icing on the cake. Evander Kane finally gets off his goal-scoring schneid. He had been snake-bit for, I think it had been the last 11 games, something like that. He finally gets his 16th goal of the year. It's unassisted. Force a neutral zone turnover. Kane comes in on a breakaway. And for once, he doesn't shoot the puck. He goes backhand top shelf on the deke. And very nice backhand. Puts it right under the crossbar. It's 7-2 at that point in time. And it's all over. You know, there's nothing. It's the last 12 and a half minutes were just about as inconsequential as you'll see in an NHL hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere at MTS Center was great. The fans and something they cheer about. They started doing the wave. There was the "We Want Buff" chant in the third period because he had two goals.
Yeah.
We still haven't seen a hat trick here since the Jets moved.
The Jets, you mean. We saw a hat trick on Friday night.
Yes.
Carl Hagelin of the Rangers. But you're right. No Jets player has yet to get a hat trick. Either at home or on the road, so the fans are certainly champing at the bit for that to happen.
He had a breakaway, he just couldn't put it in. I'm dying to see some hats thrown on the ice here at MTS Center. We'll have to wait another day for that one.
It's a good point what you said there. Butlin, before he did leave the game with that lower body injury, did have a breakaway and an attempt to make it to get the hat trick. Wasn't able to. Anyways, it's 7-2 for the Jets. Big win for the Jets. We said that it was a must-win game coming into today. We said that yesterday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And to their credit, they took care of business. Now they got to go back. Not an easy place to go tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues. The Blues haven't played in a couple nights, so they've been waiting for the Jets. Paul Maurice did say that he does expect it's going to be Al Montoya in the net for the Winnipeg Jets. He also, like we said, does expect that Dustin Byfuglien was going to play. Best case scenario for the Winnipeg Jets tonight on a back-to-back, no Winnipeg Jets player played more than 22 minutes of ice time. So, you know, the travel notwithstanding, in terms of the actual on ice, they should not be too exhausted. They, you know, were able to spread the time out quite well. You saw more of the fourth line you had seen in years. Not quite years, but you know what I'm saying. Patrice Cormier, he played 8 minutes at 12 seconds. Peluso, 8:13. Matt Halaschuk at 9:02. In terms of the defenseman, Zach Bogosian, 21:57 to lead all defensemen. 3 seconds more than Toby Enstrom. And then among the forwards, you have Michael Frolik at 17:38, Brian Little at 18:56, and Andrew Ladd at 18:40. But Evander Kane led all forwards on the Winnipeg Jets, playing 20 minutes and 18 seconds. So, all in all, a good performance from the Winnipeg Jets. They keep their faint playoff hopes alive for another night, a game they had to have against the Dallas Stars. Stay tuned for post-game audio from the Winnipeg Jets and the Dallas Stars dressing room, courtesy of our colleagues Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg. We remind you, Wednesday night we will be back for the Jets versus the Colorado Avalanche and an Illegal Curve post-game podcast and NHL midweek Thursday night this week on TSN 1290. Note the special day Thursday for NHL midweek. For Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.